is called single separation. The single separation policy is only to be used on the basis of serious risk and not as a form of punishment. However, of the 3,027 single separation incidents recorded last year, inspectors found some children were placed in isolation when they were found with prohibited substances, when they damaged property, or when they were in conflict with other children. Now, I'm joined by the director of Oberstown, Pat Bergen. He's on the line. Pat, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Now, first of all, to explain to our listeners the ages of the children that you have in Oberstown.
The young people in Oberstown range in age from 14 to 18. Excuse me.
Basically teenagers.
Teenagers, mainly boys. From time to time we have girls here, but mainly boys.
Yeah. Now, the single separation technique, what exactly is it and why is it officially to be used?
Okay, I suppose, first of all, it's important to find what single separation is. And simply, single separation is the removal of a young person from their peers, from other young people. So they're not allowed to mix with other young people for particular reasons. So that's what single separation is. That does not mean that staff aren't engaged with a young person, not spending time with them, involved in other
activities. So this is not solitary with that tiny little window where you can catch a glimpse of the sun occasionally. It's not that. They're in their normal room with their telly and all the rest of it.
Correct.
They might even go to school.
If they go to school, they're mixing with other young people. Sometimes school is or education maybe Friday on the unit. They may be out involved in kicking football around. But the key issue here is that if the young person is placed in single separation, it relates to a particular risk that has been identified. So you mentioned at the top of the story there in relation to particular scenarios. So if a young person is admitted to the campus here and they have drugs on them, we've concerned that they have drugs on them and we can't retrieve those drugs. The concern we would have then is that by allowing that young person mix with other young people here, they may share those drugs or the behaviour of that young person may escalate and we have a more difficult situation.
So, now, when you're saying you can't get those drugs, are you not entitled to search them? Can you do whole body searches? Can you, get into intimate parts of the body if you can't?
You can't get into intimate parts of the body. There's a very clear search policy. You can pat people down. There is searches where towels are used. However, drugs can be concealed in many different ways. And the behaviour of somebody on admissions may display that they have drugs on them, but we're not in a position to retrieve those. So what we do is we engage with that young person, try and convince them to hand them over. And that may go on for an hour. It may go on for a day. It may go on for longer than a day. That's what the concern, the risks that we have to deal with is that if we are suspicious that there's drugs here and if they are disseminated out around the rest of the campus, it could affect other young people. So that's one scenario. That's one scenario. We've other scenarios where young people can't manage their own behaviour. So we have a whole range of interventions in relation to working with young people. But if you have a scenario where somebody's quite volatile, angry, destructive, then you have to look at how you're going to manage those situations. So again, very important, this is not part of a punishment piece, it's a part of a behaviour management where you say, well, actually, we need to keep that young person away from other young people for a period of time, and staff continue to engage with that young person until they're in a position to regain control and cooperate to some degree.
Now, how long might single separation last?
It could last for 5 minutes, it could last for a couple of days.
A couple of days? Weren't there some, though, that went on longer than that?
Yeah, I suppose it's to put in the context, if you have a young person that does not want to cooperate and is basically quite threatening, is refusing to accept any of the limits and boundaries, what you're saying is until that person is in a position to accept the limits and boundaries set down by the staff of the campus, then if the risks continue for them to be associated with other young people, then we need to manage that risk. So if I have a concern that a young person is going to incite aggressive behaviour from other young people, then I need to be mindful of why would I allow those young people mix.
And could it go on then for 5, 6, 7, 10 days?
It could go on for a period of time because I mean
there's no limit, is there?
Constantly you're looking at alternatives, so you're constantly working with young people around what's the relationship with the family, what's the relationship with their solicitor, what's the relationship with the guards, who can we use besides our own skills and understanding to try and convince young people to desist from particular behaviours, and because of that is a risk. So we're constantly evaluating those risks, constantly looking at ways forward support for that young person. So we have a thing called an individual crisis management plan. So we look at particularly young people around the risks that they pose. We look at the information that we gathered from external sources. So prior to young people coming in here, there's information about them in relation to what works well, what doesn't work well. So the idea is to keep young people safe here, all young people, including the young person involved in the single separation.
Now, the single separation incidents recorded last year, 3,027. Now, if you look at the authorised capacity for Obstown at 54, you're looking at per resident, you're looking at 56 per resident. That's an awful lot.
And not all young people would be in single separation. You find that it's a small cohort of young people that go through particular periods of time where single separation could be used for 10 minutes, for an hour, for 2 days, depending
on... So when HIC will look at these records, it could be a 10-minute single separation that would make up one of these 3,027, or it could be a four-day single separation. Each one has equal weight with HICWA, does it?
Absolutely. Well, sorry, they will look at the context of each single separation, but a single separation, the way we count a single separation, if a young person, so we have 12 young people on remand here today, if they go to court this week and they come back in, they are placed on single separation for maybe a short period of time on readmission. We count that as single separation because we believe it's appropriate to record that young person wasn't allowed to mix with other young people for a period of time.
And yet that's part of the protocol.
That's part of the protocol, and it's counted as a single separation. If we have a young person that has taken drugs, that's counted. If we have a young person that's not managing well, that's counted. So every time that we have a young person that is isolated from their peer group, that is counted.
Yeah. And tell me this then, are you saying that the HICWA report is kind of misleading in what it's conveying, that the criticism is not justified?
No, I think that you have to look at the report in the context of what's said in the report is that there are single separate. We don't want single separation. The ideal scenario would be not to single separate any young person. That is what we all strive to achieve. But the core issue is that this is part of a behaviour management approach. These are situations that are difficult, that there's risks associated with it. And because of that, we have to use this approach in the context of a detention facility.
Yeah, but have you done anything really that merits this HICWA criticism? Is that what you're saying, that they have one way of looking at things and you as the practitioners have to look at it in a very different way?
Absolutely. Well, I suppose we both have a common approach, which is single separation should be the lowest number. It should be as rare as possible. So we all agree on that point. I suppose one of the criticisms that I will totally accept is the level of detail recorded in relation to single separation is not accepted. We need to put more information on each of those records so that there's a full accountability and good governance in relation to being able to challenge why it happened, how long it happened, when it happened, what were the efforts that are being made to get young people out of single separation. Staff are working with young people. They go in and, you know, sit and talk to them for hours and hours and hours. Their failure on this one, maybe they're not recording in detail the level of conversations they're having, the efforts that they made, the demeanour of young people not to engage. And I accept that those criticisms, and that will allow better governance from my perspective to ensure that if a young person is single separation, that is not deemed a punishment. It's not because the young person has annoyed a particular staff member, but there's a clear indication of the efforts that staff member has been making to try and return the young person to normal routines, but the young person is refusing to engage or has made a deliberate attempt to say, listen, I don't want to be mixing with anybody. We have young people that place themselves in single separation because of their own concerns and say, well, I don't want to mix with other people. We record that as single separation. So there's a whole range and a whole gambit of
scenarios. All right. Well, thank you very much for explaining. Pat Bergen, who's director of Oberstown, thanks very much for joining us.
Join the conversation. Text us on 53106. Text customer.